Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Well, CNN's not going to let it go. I think they've found their Donald Trump email scandal. Apparently, for the first time, U.S. investigators say they have corroborated some of the communication detail in that 35-page dossier compiled by a former British intelligence agent, and not the salacious stuff, not the whole, you know, Golden Showers thing that they had talked about before, but stuff that included, I guess, the president and foreign nationals. What that means, I don't know. It is that, of course, was it BuzzFeed, I think, and then CNN that released this dossier and talked about all the stuff in there. And none of that stuff was corroborated between the hookers and all that nasty stuff that they said happened. And it's ridiculous that CNN's not letting us go. I mean, this is that bone, man, that dog that's found the bone, and they're not going to let the bone go. They're going to hold on to the bone for dear life. And already the White House has come out. Sean Spicer says we continue to be disgusted by CNN's fake news reporting. Later, Spicer called back and said this is more fake news. It's about time CNN focused on the success of the president, that he is bringing back jobs, protecting the nation, and strengthening relationships with Japan and other nations. The president won the election because of his vision and message for the nation. What's in there, I don't know, but they're saying that they've got this now, this dossier, and that some of it may be true. What is it that's true? I don't know. All anybody cared about last time, because I don't think anybody in their right mind feels that the election was won by the Russians and handed to Trump. Doesn't mean that things maybe untoward didn't happen. Obviously, they hacked us. They're continuing to do so. So are we. We're hacking everybody else. That's kind of what we do now. Everybody hacks each other. What's in there? Again, I don't know. We'll find out, I'm sure, sooner than later. But they're already lining up. It's fake news. And this is their problem. They jacked the pooch. They screwed up. Not too many people are going to buy into it. People that hate Trump will buy into it because they don't care. They think it's all bad and he's evil and everything. People in the middle who aren't quite sure, people in the middle who, you know, maybe voted for Trump, but still kind of feel like they're a little, I don't know if this is going the way I thought. They're going to look at CNN the way that the people in the far right are. Is you have gone after him. You wanted Hillary to win and you screwed up with the BuzzFeed thing. And that was bogus. And even if inside of there is truth to this, I'm not buying it because you screwed up. And I don't blame people. I don't blame people. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. We switch. We're going to be talking to you later, a little bit later. We're going to talk to a lady at the bottom of the hour who deals with bullying. And I talk about things that I think matter. You know, I'm 46 years old. Obviously this stuff's important. But the truth is we all have kids. We all have lives. We have grandkids. We have stuff that we take care of. And I look at school as very important, right? Last hour, we were talking about my son. And where does he fit in this world? It's a 6.5-year-old. Where does he fit in a lot of stuff? You got Betsy DeVos. She's the new, Secretary of Education. And already she's what? She's been told, you know, she's trying to go into a school today and there were protesters not allowing her in. Education is extremely important. But I like to be in control of what my child is able to do education-wise. I will decide good, bad, or indifferent. If I don't like the school and I want to homeschool him, then his mom and I could talk about that. If we agree that the school he didn't go to wasn't very good, you know what? I have the means, unlike a lot of people out there, to put him somewhere else. This lady in Buffalo... This was, I'm still trying to figure it out. People have been texting me, Have you seen this? Yes, we talked a little bit about it, but we didn't go into detail like we're going to do right now. Her name was Kyrie Harris. And for me to explain it, it would be silly. But I'm going to comment on it. You bet your candy ass I am. Take a listen to this story.
I felt like the system was failing my children, and that's when I made the decision to homeschool.
Single mother Kiari Harris was fed up. She says her two elementary school-aged children weren't excelling at their failing Buffalo public schools. So she filed these documents at Buffalo City Hall, informing the district of her intent to homeschool her children. According to the documents she provided to 7 Eyewitness News, they're dated December 7th, 2016. And the district says here it received her paperwork.
I spoke directly to the homeschool coordinator, and she told me that from this point on, my children were officially unenrolled from school.
But she says a week later, CPS called, wondering why her kids weren't in school.
I told them that my children were homeschooled now, and I said that I can furnish the documents if they need to see it.
Harris says she went on with her homeschooling, but then, less than a month later,
I was confronted by the CPS workers and the Buffalo Police Department, and they said, well, it's too late now to show these papers. The judge has already made the order. We have to take your children. But they never did show me the order. And so since they didn't show me the order, I said, well, I'm not just going to give you my children. And from that point, they arrested me and said that I was obstructing the court order.
Okay. I would have lost it, and there's going to be a standoff. That's the way there's going to be a standoff. You come to my house after I did everything I was supposed to, and then you tell me that CPS is here to take my children because you have failed at your job in providing a good education for my child. You have failed at the job you have, and I feel that it is my duty, my responsibility, and it's also my right to decide what's right for my child education-wise. I fill everything out, and I get it to you, and you jack the pooch, and now you're here to take my kids away with a mystical, hidden court order. Yeah, we're going to have a standoff. This is going to end in a standoff. We're going mini Waco here. Well, Chad, that's not. No, it's not. No. Once again, get out of my life. This is why government drives me crazy. This is why. Well, it's maybe a mistake. No, we hear stories like this all the time, right? Kid goes down the street, plays with his little friend. Somebody says, oh, look, that person's out here by himself. Next thing you know, your kid's being hauled away by CPS and you're going to have a court date because you let your child go outside by yourself. You do everything right, but the government seems to think, much like Hillary and a lot of other people out on the Democratic side, that, you know what, it really does take a village to raise children. A Democratic village, but a village nonetheless. Continue the story.
Harris says she hasn't seen her two children in 3 weeks. They've been living in a foster care institution.
I'm just a mother whose children have been torn from her arms.
The Buffalo Public School District says it cannot comment on this case due to federal laws, but says in order for a parent to file for homeschooling, they must have full custody of the children. Harris says she's a single parent and always has had full custody until her kids were taken away.
All of the documents were signed properly.
A member of the district parent coordinating council says someone dropped the ball.
It should not have happened. Someone along the way, you know, anywhere in the process after December 7th should have simply said, wait a minute, you know, CPS should not be in here. The principal should have been circled back to and said, you know, these students were unenrolled.
Yeah, somebody more than dropped the ball. These are messages, though. I look at this sometimes and I think to myself, you know, why do we get to this point where you got to go through all of this nightmarish stuff, the paperwork, this, that, and the, you got to prove. All of these kind of things. Yet, what are you proving? This is one of the things that I hope, and I know everybody is a little, I'm a little skeptical of Betsy DeVos, but I'm going to give her a chance when it comes to education. I'm a little bit skeptical. I think she wasn't prepared. I didn't think she'd do a great job, but I'm a bit skeptical. But even though I'm a bit skeptical, and I am, tell you what, you never know. Choice. It's great. Don't you want to have choice with your children? Don't you want to have choice to decide, hey, I'm going to homeschool my children because I feel that you guys have failed my child. And how dare you come into my house? And then you throw up some BS about, well, we can't comment on it because of federal rules. This isn't HIPAA. There's no federal rules. You're lying. You can't comment because you're an asshat. And you guys jacked the pooch, and you're trying to figure out what to do now. And now these two little kids are in foster care, confused as hell. Mom's got to fight it. So don't tell me, well, we really can't comment. You can comment. You may not want to comment because you have nothing that you're going to be able to say. You're not going to be able to come back with something. Based on all the evidence everybody has seen, what are you going to come back and say? Oops. No. No. I don't know about you, but me, my child, mine. Remember that movie? Remember Rambo, the original Rambo? Remember that part, the great part? Richard Crenna walks in there. Said the Pentagon came to, you know, send me down here. Said I'm here to help. He goes, get your man. Your man? Yeah. I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him. I think that makes him mine. Yeah. Well, you know what? We created him. She birthed him. I pay for him. We're raising him. That makes him mine. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Linda Bailey's going to join us in a little while. Talk about bullying. Talk about how kids are handling it nowadays. That's what she does. She handles the bullying side of things when it comes to programs and schools. It's a very interesting topic and something that I think a lot of us, you know, nowadays pay attention to more and more because it seems to be everywhere. We've got What's Next Next. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Forever.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
So Grammy facts you don't know. Grammys are Sunday night. I'm sure we're going to get bombarded with political disdain for the Donald. That's Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney, maybe the most famous of all the Beatles, is the only former member of the band not to win a solo award for Album of the Year. Beatles won in 1967 for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. George Harrison and Ringo both won for contributions to the concert in Bangladesh. John Lennon won for his final studio album, Double Fantasy, collaboration with his wife, Yoko Ono. But not so much for the Paul. So think about that. Some other stuff, like the Bob Dylan. Most acclaimed songwriter of the past six decades. Just got a Nobel Prize. Never been nominated for Song of the Year. Never been nominated. Bob Marley, never won a Grammy. His sons have 18. He's never won one. Never won one. That's crazy. Now, in fairness to Bob, 84, well, I think it was 3 years after he died, they finally had a reggae category. But I think Bob transcended that. And I think if Bob was alive during the days when they had the reggae category, I doubt Bob would have lost ever, 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 ever. What's next? Quick one for you today. What's next for the likes of Edward Snowden? Oh. What's next for Edward Snowden? The leak, the hacker, the guy that put it all out there by handing it to somebody to really put it all out there. Nobody knows what's next for Edward, but rumors are, and now somewhat being corroborated, that the U.S. intelligence agency has collected information that Russia is considering turning him over as a gift to the Donald, who, by the way, the Donald has called him a spy and traitor who deserves to be executed. Apparently, the U.S. would like to curry favor with the Russians would like to curry favor with the Donald. In doing so, that may go a long way. That's according to a U.S. senior official who has analyzed a series of highly sensitive intelligence reports detailing Russia's deliberations. I don't know what would happen to him here. But I do know one thing. Unlike other presidents, the Donald will change certain courts and paths. Do I think he'll be executed? No. But I think over time, the likes of of Edward Snowden and of course, Mr. WikiLeaks himself will eventually they'll have to, you know, face their accusers. And Edward Snowden's going to run out of time. You're only as good to a place like Russia when you've got stuff that Russia wants. When you run out, right? Like, you feed a bear. You got bear, you know, you see all these idiots that go out and they'll try to go to these national parks and they'll feed a damn bear. And then they run out of food to hand the bear. But the bear's still hungry. So the bear's like, you've run out of stuff to hand me. So now I'm going to eat you. The minute he is no longer valuable to them, the minute he's no longer important to them, the minute he no longer has something of value to offer them, they'll say, whoop, have a good day. And to curry favor? Now, what's next for him if he came home is a different story. You see all the things that are happening with the travel ban, this, that, and the other. Him coming home, he would be welcomed by, I'm sure, a lot of people as a hero. But being welcomed as a hero by a lot of people who are protesters and supporters of him doesn't mean the law is going to do that. And I think he would face serious time. Serious time. What's next for Edward is I would be kissing up to the Russians left, right, and center. Because the poocher doesn't have your back. And at any given time, he could flip the script and you could be on a plane ride here. Uh-oh. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Get a lot of texts about that story, about the mom who was arrested for homeschooling her kids. Talk a bit about that. But first, we're going to talk about bullying. Linda Bailey's going to join us next to talk about bullying and the epidemic that is or isn't out there. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
It is the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day on a beautiful Friday. You know what's not beautiful is bullying. And bullying has become a hot topic around school, around life. Bullying seems to be happening everywhere. Obviously, Trump gets accused of being bullies. You got the social justice warriors who are bullying people. Joining us now is a lady who actually deals in the world of bullying. Her name is Linda Bailey. She's from the Riverside Medical Clinic Charitable Foundation and the Anti-Bullying Institute. That is a mouthful. Linda, thanks so much for joining us on this Friday. Let's first talk about what it is you do at the, you know, as an anti-bullying institute.
Well, the foundation actually is an educational foundation. We have support groups for endometriosis, prostate cancer, and Alzheimer's. We have lectures and support groups. And out of one of our lectures in 2012, we had the Anti-Bullying Institute start out of one of those lectures on bullying. We give parenting classes, and we held a conference in 2014. And that really blossomed into all of the programs that we have now.
You talk about bullying, and I think it's, you know, I mean, we're seeing more and more young girls and young boys are killing themselves and they're making it a huge thing online. It's a horrible thing. It has become, I don't want to say it's an epidemic, but I think, you know, we tend to overuse that word. You know, everything's an epidemic. Everything's the end of the world. But it's definitely more noticeable than it was, say, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when we all had bullies at school. And, you know, you'd go home and you'd tell your parents and this, that, and the other. Do you feel that it's really blossomed, or is it just one of those things where we overthink things?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Bullying is more apparent now just because of social media. Social media has really made it blossom because everybody can talk about their feelings immediately when it happens. They can talk to a multitude of people, share their feelings immediately. And they can do it anonymously. They can talk to many people at the same time, where before computers, cell phones came about, you go home and you really didn't talk to anybody too much until you went to school the next day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, when I was a kid, even if there was a bully, bullying ended at 3 o'clock and it ended at 3 o'clock on Friday because you weren't going to see that person, chances are, over the weekend. And you went with your friends, they went with their friends. And then Monday, it may start back up again. And it's sad, but I mean, social media, I mean, you're hearing stories now where they're able to set up fake accounts and they're able to hide those fake accounts. And the things that they're doing to kids, it's much more mental than it is physical. When we were kids, you'd see a bully who'd want to take your lunch money or something, but the mental side wasn't there. You may be scared of him, but you're more scared about him punching you in the jaw than you are now. Now it seems to be the mental side of things really seems to be more of the fear than the actual physical side of whether or not you're going to get beat up.
Well, it is, because a message that's sent to somebody can resonate with somebody. They'll take a picture of it, even if it's something that disappears on some of the social media applications. They can take a picture of it. They'll look at it, and it'll resonate with them over and over and over. If somebody sends a picture to somebody else, they can put that out on their personal network, and it can spread like wildfire to thousands and millions of people, and they can just literally be humiliated in front of all of those people when the picture was just meant for that one person.
We're talking to Linda Bailey. She's from the Riverside Medical Clinic Charitable Foundation at the Anti-Bullying, is it Institute?
Yes.
Yeah, there's, she's got, it's like, she's two cards just to get all of the stuff in here. So what do you guys do there at the Anti-Bullying Institute? What is it that you guys do to help people as far as the bullying goes? Are they coming to you? Are schools turning, you know, people over saying, look, we've got some kids who are suffering from bullying. Can you help them? Are they bringing bullies to you saying, you know, can you help them? Because they're not quite getting it, how they're treating people.
Well, we offer resources to people to learn about bullying. On our website, we have a lot of resources for parents, for children, and for teachers and administrators. We offer parenting classes where you can go and sign up for parenting classes to be given at your school or community center. And we give those classes in English and Spanish. Towards the end of the year, this year in November, we're going to have an anti-bullying conference, which we held last year as well, for teachers, administrators, and law enforcement, where we gather together and we bring in professionals on different subjects, such as cyberbullying, creating a cohesive classroom, dealing with LGBT issues, and just a wide range of different subjects. And then we also have a hero program that we introduced just a few months ago, where we work with a local radio station here in town, Alpha Media 100.5 and U92.7. And then over in Riverside, we work with KGGI, and they help us kick off the program into the schools. The schools come into an assembly. We show them videos. We talk to them about bullying. And then we continue the program with education. We have kindness days. We give the parenting classes to their parents. We give education to the administrators. And then we come back and we award them on a quarterly basis with hero awards to children that have shown extraordinary excellence in being a hero within their school. They get a T-shirt. We put up posters, banners, and we celebrate their heroism at their school.
You know, you talk about the parents, and I've always been a big believer that bullying starts at home. And if you don't have a good parent, or you don't have a good parents, or you don't have a good structure, whether that be maybe your uncle, maybe your aunt, maybe your whoever your, you know, the provider is for you, that, you know, and they're horrible, you tend to pass that on. Do you tend to see that a lot? Because it's to me, like everything, education, bullying, all kinds of things, it starts inside of the house.
Well, of course, you need to have supportive parents, and everybody needs to be taught to have a kind heart. But you also need to look at people for who they are, because when they go home, you don't know what that person is dealing with at home. When you look at me, you don't know who my kids are. You don't know who my husband is. You don't know who I go home to. And so showing me a little bit of kindness, you know, might go a long way.
Yeah.
So parents definitely need to be at the forefront of that.
When you talk to teachers in the schools and stuff, and especially teachers that have been there 20, 30 years, Do they see how bullying has changed, or is it to them, it's, you know, it's kind of the same? It may be a little bit more electronically savvy than obviously back 20, 30 years ago, but a lot of it's kind of the same, right?
Well, they see that it's more more apparent when the schools get the electronic devices where they're given to all of the kids. Recently, we were contacted by several schools that say this is the first year that we've received these electronic devices because we're no longer giving out books. So, you know, we're having a lot more cyberbullying than we've ever had before. Help us. And so we have structured our program a little bit differently for those particular schools to include a poster contest to show them about bullying in kind of a cyberbullying way, or the videos that we show are specifically about cyberbullying. So the HERO program is customized to that school to help them do that. And the HERO program is free to the schools, along with all of the other services that we offer at the foundation. Aside from the conference, there's a small fee for the conference.
As you know, I'm 46 years old. I went to school. We had bullies at school. My dad always thought you stand up for the people who can't stand up for themselves. And at one time I got suspended for a week because I fought a kid who was bullying a bunch of other kids. But I look back now and I think, you know, I see what's going on now. But I also think that we dealt with bullies in a much different way. Because you know, in life you're going to run into people you don't like. Period. Case closed. And as you get older, you're going to be in places where you think somebody's a bully. And I think, do you find that sometimes you even scratch your head because everything seems to be an incident in school where maybe it's not really an incident. It's maybe two kids just having a disagreement, and we're taking that away from our kids and them learning how to deal with certain situations, which I think is a disservice to them because then they get in the real world and they don't know how to deal with any kind of adversity.
Well, people certainly have become hypersensitive to the word bullying. It is thrown around in the media quite a bit. You hear about it probably more often, almost on a daily basis, you hear the word bully. Bullying is not always a situation of being bullying. Oftentimes you see in the news that my son was bullied, you know, look at them with bruises all over their face. Well, that kid was actually beaten up.
Yeah.
You know, bullying might have led up to that beating, but that particular incident was, you know, that poor child was beaten, and that's kind of horrible. But instilling confidence in your own child needs to be first and foremost, because when you look at your child, you need to be able to know that they have as much confidence so that they don't let people bother them. But sometimes that, you know, it has to be gone, taken to the extreme. And oftentimes, you know, when people have to take their kids out of school or decide that they have to homeschool them, you know, sometimes that ends up being the ultimate case. But hypersensitivity, you know, when you see all the tweeting and texting between the singers, the movie stars, and, you know, the minute the...
Our president.
Yeah, even that. But, you know, the minute the all of these award shows comes out,
Yeah. The
first thing that you see is the worst dress list.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so we're all being programmed to see the worst out of everybody.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, I'm sure that everybody that got dressed for that particular award ceremony thought that they went out there looking the best that they could look.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think there's some people going out there and you think, yeah, I look like crap. I know this, but we're okay with it.
Well, and for the few that are trying to get on that worst dress list, but I mean, honestly, I think, you know, everybody pretty much goes out there trying to look their best, and to end up on that worst dress list is you know, it kind of programs the brain for everybody to try to find the worst in people. And that's not such a good thing these days.
Talking to Linda Bailey, she's from the Riverside Medical Clinic Charitable Foundation. And the, say it for me, is the
Anti-Bullying Institute.
Yeah. That's very, very big. Last couple of questions we'll let you give, and we appreciate you coming on today. Has it changed as far as the gender? When we were younger, there's always the big guy in school that was kind of, you know, the guy that would kind of boss everybody around. You maybe had a girl that was bigger than the other girls. But, yeah, the mean girls, if you will, and you had the cool kids. But is it now do you see a lot more females and a lot more younger girls who are participating in the bully side of the thing comparatively towards the male side of it?
No, it's about 83% of girls and about 79% of boys say that they experience bullying. The studies show, so it's you know, it's pretty even.
Wow,
it's pretty even.
Wow, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the one thing I've seen over the last, I have a 20-year-old little sister all the way down to a 5-year-old little brother. All my nieces, my nephews, they're adopted, and you know, we've, you know, my family's raised them that because we have one of our little brothers is in a wheelchair and he's got a trach, mm-hmm. and a G-tube, and you don't bully and you stand up for those who can't. But I've noticed that even in the bullying days nowadays, where when we were younger, people would pick on what they seemed to be or deemed to be the weakest. I see now where kids pick on other kids who you would think back in my day that kid would never get picked on. But it's like they pile on somebody who you know, you would think, you know, for lack of a better term, wasn't kind of dorky or anything like that. Even one of the cooler kids in school gets piled onto. And that, to me, is the new side of what I see bullying.
Well, and that certainly is the case, because even today, the most popular, what they say is, you know, the jock or the cheerleader or something, where it used to be the most popular and nobody wanted to touch them. Everybody wanted to be like them, you know, because they're off campus, because they get to go to the away schools. They get out of class earlier. They get to skip a few classes because, you know, they have a game in another city. They get bullied, too, because they're getting special treatment. But, you know, everybody's going after everybody, no matter what color you are, sexual orientation, no matter what race you are. And it's really there are no boundaries. And that's what people need to see, that, you know, that everybody just needs to be kind to each other. And that's one of our exercises that we have is Kindness Day, where, you know, it really doesn't hurt to just say something nice to somebody. You don't know that might be the one time that they're even being talked to nicely, because they might go home to a very different situation.
Absolutely.
At home. And that could be the one time that they heard something nice all day long. They might go to school to get some refuge.
Yeah.
And going home might be a miserable experience. And we've given these kickoffs before, and, you know, tears roll down these kids' faces because they've been bullied. And, you know, these kids, we have a young lady who put together a PowerPoint presentation on bullying before we even got there, because she felt compelled to do something different. So now she's helping us do those kindness days at that school, and we're making her a champion at that school. You know, so there's kids out there that care. They just need an avenue to do it.
What about sexting and the fact that these kids are all, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds, you know, their bodies are developing and they're, you know, they're fooling around and they're sexting. How has that played into this? Because, you know, back then you'd hear the rumors and you hear this, that, and the other. Now there's the photographic side of things. And that's got to be terrifying for a young teenage boy or girl.
Well, it should be, because Governor Brown just signed a bill that makes sexting and sending sexually oriented photos a reason to get expelled. So it's something that they need to watch out for, because it's something that can really affect the rest of their school career. And so that's something that we let them know when we're talking about our programming and information that needs to get to them through the schools, because if they get caught sexting, then they're going to get in trouble for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Her name is Linda Bailey. She's from the Riverside Medical Clinic Charitable Foundation and the Anti-Bullying Institute. We appreciate you coming on today, talking about bullying. It's a big thing that's in the schools. It's really in the lexicon now of America, where we're all talking about bullying in some way, shape, or form. We appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you very much.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Let's get this party started.
Obviously.
I feel exactly the same way, but the opposite.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, Christopher Cross right there. He's a native of San Antonio. We talk about the Grammys coming up this week. Here's some facts you don't know. He is the only person in history of the Grammys to win all four top awards. Album, Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and Best New Artist all in one year. He won a fifth that year as well, 1980, Best Arrangement Accompanying Vocalist. It was widely seen as a case for too much too soon. The talented Texan has never won another Grammy again. And I was talking to producer Phil about this. I think you can make an argument from 80 to 83, 84, probably nobody bigger in music in the world.
I certainly agree with that.
I mean, he had two, three massive number ones. His album was five-time platinum. And then he had a huge number one with the soundtrack to Arthur. And that was it. And then it was just kind of faded away. And, you know, it's like Men at Work, right? I mean, that's always that kiss of death, getting the new artist of the year award. Because what did Men at Work win? Then they went like five or six that year, and we never heard from them again. Ever. I mean, they were just gone. And, you know, of course, Milli Vanilli, but they didn't really win anything, even though they won something. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. This weekend, I just think it's going to be the usual Bologna. You see a lot of people out there, you know, getting on stage, talking about how horrible Trump is. We'll probably see some really good acts, and we'll see some fun stuff, and some diva-ing is what we're hearing. But I just can't suffer through 2 or 3 hours of people saying this president's horrible. I didn't like it with George Bush when it was only once in a while. And then it was wacky Kanye with George Bush. You know, George Bush hates black people. Poor Mike Myers. Like, what? I don't want to see it this weekend. I just don't. Sorry. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Solid. Our very interesting. A lot of people texting in about the school thing earlier. We talked about the lady was arrested for homeschooling her kid. Somebody texted in and said it cost him $7,000 to get his kid out of school. And essentially they were telling him that they make the final decisions when it comes to his child. Wrong answer, sir, ma'am, person. 323-538-2423. You can always email the show, chat@chadbensonshow.com. On top of that, you can grab the podcast, iHeart, chadbensonshow.com, TuneIn Radio. Grab that podcast. Take it with you wherever you go. This be here, the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.